We have been in this study. We have one more lesson after this one before we will finish this series of lessons on asking this question: do you believe God? We have been, as we've been talking about, saying that there's a lot of different things that people believe in, and we ask that question, like things like, do you believe in magic? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in destiny? So there's a lot of topics that we have just in everyday conversation that we talk to people about, different things that they believe in. And, of course, one of those topics is the topic of God. And we ask people, do you believe in God? Well, that's a valid biblical question. And certainly the Bible tells us that we need to believe in God. But it also challenges us to not just be satisfied with believing in God, but the real question is, do you believe God? When God says something in His Word, the issue and the question is, do you believe Him? That's what this study has been all about. There's a lot of people, and you go out and talk to folks about God, and people will tell you, yes, I believe in God. And we're going to be talking specifically in our lesson this morning about those folks, okay, who believe in God. The problem is that most of those folks simply do not believe God. They believe in Him, but they don't believe Him. And I think that some of the evidence, and we've been talking about this all along, that shows that is that if people really did believe God, and I'm not talking about the folks out, what we consider the folks out in the world, I'm talking about church people. Okay? If we really believed God in what He says in His Word, then that would reflect a whole lot more in people's daily lives. So the question I've been asking all along through this study, one of the questions is this: how would your life change if you were to stop just believing in God and start believing God? And so maybe just be thinking about, so far as we've gone through this series, and this is our eighth lesson in this series, has your life changed any in the things that you're doing on a daily basis? See, as you think more and more about believing God, what changes have you already made in your life? Hopefully, a bunch, okay? And what we've been doing in the study is looking at some of the statements, some of the promises that God has made in His Word, okay? And how then are we responding to what God says in His Word? And there's only two ways, one of two ways you can respond. It's either by belief or disbelief. We started this study focused on what the Scriptures tell us about Abraham. He is our example. As God called Abraham to leave his home country in the Ur of the Chaldees and to go where God would tell him to go, then the Scriptures tell us that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so that's our example. What we want to do and what our challenge is for us to learn to be more like Abraham in that is that we believe God in what He says, and that belief would be credited to us as righteousness. So this morning, let's talk first of all about warnings and danger signs and things of that nature. Okay? You see a lot of those as you go about your daily business, don't you? No matter where you go anymore, there's typically some kind of warning sign that you're going to run into. If you just drive or ride on the highway, there's a lot of warning signs out there, aren't there? So warnings are everywhere. And the reason that warning signs are there is because they're telling us something in order to prevent us from being harmed or hurt in some way. That's generally why the warnings are out there. That whoever is responsible, let's just say for a particular area or place or whatever it might be, that they don't want folks to get hurt. Now, you know, in today's world, part of the motivation for warning people is they don't want to get sued, okay? If something happens to you, then, you know, you're going to sue them or whatever. So they get all these warning signs that are out there on everything. But generally, it is to prevent people from being harmed. So, you know, you ever seen one of these signs? I see these all the time. You go into a building somewhere, and there's a caution, wet floor. Somebody has just mopped the floor, so be careful, all right? Things are hot. Don't touch it, okay? Because if you do, you're going to get burned, okay? Watch your step. Hey, there's a lot of these signs all around in different places. Watch your step, because nobody don't want you to trip and fall. Sharp curve ahead. See these all the time on some of these roads. You go down on Snake Road, you're going to see some warning signs down there, right? Okay, because there's a lot of sharp curves and a lot of accidents have happened. Be careful is the idea. And how about this one? So these are just some of the warning signs that we use in our world to help people to keep from being harmed or hurt in some way. Well, God has some warning signs also. He has warning signs in His Word. Amen. And what His reason for doing that is, He wants us to listen to His signs because He loves us and He doesn't want us to get hurt spiritually. In fact, not only that, but He wants us to be with Him for all eternity. That's how much He loves us. And so He gives us a lot of warnings so that we will find ourselves being spiritually safe and secure in Him. So let's talk about some of these warning signs that God gives to us. Now, last week in our lesson, we were talking really about God's wrath and about all the folks that are out here and they're not listening to God, but that's generally referring to folks that are out here, in the world that are not listening to God. They don't believe in God. They're not following God. They're just doing a lot of reprehensible stuff. What God says, we talked about what He refers to as evil, okay, or wicked stuff. Well, today, we're going to focus on not those folks out there in the world, but we're going to focus on the folks that are filling churches practically every Sunday morning all over the world. Okay? And what are some of the warning signs, the warnings that God gives in His Word for us? Okay? We talk about, first of all, what I'm referring to as the many and the few. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, is just before the text that was read for us as we began this morning, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talks about and gives us a warning. He says, enter through the narrow gate. All right? Enter through the narrow gate. Now, that is God's instruction. It is a warning, if you will. Okay? He's giving us directions in how to proceed in our life, in our daily life. Enter through the narrow gate. Okay? What that implies from God is that going through the narrow gate is the safe course to follow. So that's kind of like a warning sign, isn't it? A direction. Don't go through the wide gate, go through the narrow gate. That's the gate that is the safe gate to enter in through. Why? He goes on to say, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And then look at what he says next. And many enter through it. Some of your translations use the word door instead of gate. Same thing. There are but one of two doors that we can choose to enter in through. And the wide door, Jesus says, that's a door that leads to destruction. So I'm warning you of that. Don't go through the wide door. because that door leads to destruction. Instead, enter through the narrow door or the narrow gate. It is a warning from God. Okay? And this kind of a sign I think we could post on, you know, on the pages of our Bible right here, where Jesus is saying, watch your step. Okay? Watch your step here. Make sure you're going through the right door. Unfortunately, this is the case. Most people won't heed this warning from God. Why? Because they don't believe God. Now, they believe in God, but they don't believe God when it comes to His direction on which door or gate to enter. In the parable that Jesus tells of the sower, Jesus talks about the seed, the seed, and He describes that as being the Word of God. He says that seed is planted on four different kinds of soil. And the result of the seed being planted on those four different types of soil, notice that Jesus tells us 75% of those who receive that word will be lost. Okay? 75%. All right? In other words, it is three out of the four types of soil. That's the many that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Many people are going to go through that door or that gate that leads to destruction. 75% of the people who hear God's word are going to be lost. So, we should be able to conclude from that kind of warning from Him that the majority is not a safe God. Would you agree with that? Okay? In other words, God is saying to us, here's another warning, don't follow the crowd. All right? The crowd, just because everybody's doing it, and how many times you ever hear that, you know, you when you were a kid, you know, you would say, hey, you know, Mom, can I do this? Or Dad, can I do this? And they say, no, you can't do that. We say, well, everybody else is. And my mom and dad would typically say something like, well, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you follow them too? So, yeah, this is probably what they were thinking of, right? And this is the kind of thinking that a lot of people have. Well, everybody else is doing it, so, you know, it must be good, right? What's coming must be really good. You know, when you're going out to eat somewhere, where do you go? You typically go to the places where, you know, all the cars are, right? You're going looking for a place, especially in a town where you're not familiar with. You're driving around trying to find a place to eat. And you go, you find this place, maybe you looked it up on the internet, and you get there and there are no cars there. You ever thought, well, that must not be a very good place, well, because nobody's eaten there. Okay, well, you know, that may or may not be a good thing. Okay, maybe a good indication. Now, there's a lot of police cars there, that's typically a good place to eat, right? Okay, but if there's not a lot of cars there, we don't want to go there. But, you know, sometimes you don't go. If you go ahead and go to that place, you find out, wow, this place is really good. They got some good food here. But the idea of following the crowd, which is what, again, most people do, is a dangerous thing to do. That's what God is telling us in His Word. Don't follow the crowd. Because you may find yourself just running right off the end of a cliff. Okay? Jesus goes on to say the second part of this. The gate that is broad or wide, that leads to destruction. He says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And look at what he says. There are few who find it. So it's the many and the few. Now, I ran across this. I don't know who Diane Grant is, but I like this saying. It's better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction. Now, let that kind of sink in.
Yes.
You see? And so often, how are we willing to go in the wrong direction because that's where the crowd's going? And we find ourselves in all kinds of problems. Don't be afraid to go it alone.
Amen.
As long as you're going with the Lord, you never go wrong. See? So Jesus kind of sets that part up here. Lord, Lord, is what he's getting ready to talk to those who say this to him. The first warning is, make sure you pay attention to what direction you're going, what gate or door you're going through. Okay? Then the second one is, beginning in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, again, this is talking about us-ins, we-ins, you and me-ins, okay? Church folks, these are people who are saying, Jesus is my Lord. These are not, again, the folks that we talked about last week who are wicked, who aren't even trying to live for God. These are folks who are saying, yes, I believe in God and He's my Lord. And Jesus says in this part of His warning, not everybody who calls me their Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is a warning for us. We say, you want to go to heaven? How many of you want to go to heaven? Every hand should be up. Okay. What do you have to do to get there? What do you have to do to get there? The will of the Father. You have to do the will of the Father. You see? Now, when we say that, we say we're going to do the will of the Father, guess what is automatically excluded from that? Our own will. Okay? And that's where this warning really takes hold, is because what it's really about is he's saying, look, you can't do your own will and enter the kingdom of God. That's not going to happen. Because the only ones that are going to enter the kingdom are those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Now, he goes on, verse 22. He talks about, again, here's that many we talked about a moment ago. Okay, where's the many going? On the road to destruction. And he says, many will say to me in that day, he's talking about the day of judgment, Lord, Lord. There it is again. They're calling him their Lord. And he says, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name do many wonderful works? So basically, we've got a lot of people who are saying they belong to God, they believe in God, they belong to Him, and He is their Lord, and they're doing a lot of good stuff in His name. The problem is that they're doing all these things, but they're not doing what He wants to be done. See? They're not doing His will. Instead, they're doing their will. So, people are serving, oftentimes, they're serving Him in name only. See? Or they're doing their will in His name. A lot of good stuff, but it's just not what He says to do. And I think this illustrates sometimes what the end result of that is. Okay? Two different churches are coming to hear a couple of different sermons. And what is the first one? Sermon series, What God Has Said. And the other one is What You'd Rather Hear. Now again, keep in mind, this cartoon about what group of people? church people. See? And you see where the many are. And though it may be a cartoon, what I'd question you and ask you to think about is, how true is that? See? How true is it? Would we rather hear what we want to hear rather than what God tells us in His Word? Because, you know, the truth is, and the reality is, there are some things that God tells us in His Word that are tough, aren't they? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think they are. Some of them are tough to do. I mean, we've talked about this before. That whole forgiveness thing, whew, man, that's tough. And there are some times when I'd a whole lot rather do what I want to do concerning this issue and this person. But I have to go back to this warning. Knowing that what He's told me to do is always what's in my best interest. When I keep that in mind, it's so much easier to do what He says rather than what I want to do. And that's one of the things we've got to remember about His Word. Yes, it's difficult, but it's always in our best interest. And so perhaps maybe Jesus would ask this question. If I am Lord to you, in other words, those who say, Lord, Lord, then why would you follow your ways and not mine? Do you understand what calling someone your Lord really means? If Jesus is truly your Lord, that means He's in charge of you. Okay? And we don't get to decide whether or not, you know, we're going to do that. Well, He's the Lord. So we're going to do what He tells me to do. In other words, we have to understand it this way. If we choose to do what we want instead of what He tells us, then He is not our Lord. Just kind of let that filter down a little bit. In Luke, chapter 6, Jesus asked some of those who were following Him this particular question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to? Why are you calling me your Lord if you're not going to obey me? And they would have understood that in the language because that's the way that they spoke. When they referred to someone as their Lord, that meant that they submitted to that person. And so Jesus asked this question, why are you calling me your Lord and you refuse to do what I tell you to do? Because that indicates that I'm not really your Lord. Jesus then, after making that statement in Luke, tells the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Okay? Now, you know, we probably remember that parable from, you know, our children's Bible classes and the songs that we sing. But just listen to this for just a moment. Everyone who comes to me, He says, and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who builds his house on a solid foundation. And when the storms come and the floods rise, the house that is built on that rock or that solid foundation stands firm. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. That's the difference between those who hear what God has to say and do what He says versus those who hear what He says and do not do what He says. Going back over to Matthew chapter 7, let's talk about this statement. Tommy South and I, on one of our trips coming back from Ukraine, we went to the air terminal and we went up to the check-in desk there, and we, you know, I said to the lady that was there, I said, you know, if it's at all possible, could we have a bulkhead seat? And there was a fellow that was there who was the director. His name was Rudy, and Rudy was in charge of the Delta terminal in Kiev, in Kiev, Ukraine. And Rudy got up there on the computer, and he said, actually, guys, he said, we've been looking for somebody to upgrade, and you two guys are perfect for that. And I looked over at Tommy, and I said, do upgrade mean what I think it do? And he said, it do. And so they upgraded us from coach to first class. And they took us in and they sat us, they took us to our seats and sat down. And I was sitting over there in the window seat, and man, I was getting all comfortable. And Tommy was in the center row in one of those seats, the last one back there. And the stewardess comes walking down the aisle, and she goes up to Tommy and she says, sir, we've made a terrible mistake about your seating. And I turned around and said, I don't know him. I'm not with him. And what they had done was they seated Tommy in the seat that they used for the pilots during those long overseas flights for them to be able to take their breaks. And so they ended up moving him over next to me. And I said, I told you, I don't know this guy. Now, we both got to stay in first class, but we had a little bit of fun with their mistake and all on that. But, you know, that kind of an idea, you ever thought about it, somebody, I don't know you? That's what Peter said when he was asked and was accused of being one of Jesus' followers. There in front of the fire, as Jesus was being tried, the scriptures tell us that a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. I don't know him. Do you understand the impact of that kind of a statement? It's denying not just knowledge, but it's denying any association or relationship with that person. And that's what Peter was doing. In order to save his own skin, he denied the relationship and any association whatsoever with Jesus. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? You know that these words right here will be the saddest words that anyone will ever hear in the judgment. Look at what Jesus says about those people who say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works? In other words, to those church people who are doing a lot of good things in the name of the Lord, but they're not doing His will, this is what He will say. I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And it's interesting that the word here for evildoers is the same in the text that we were talking about last week, where it talks about those wicked people. In other words, we need to understand that the fate is going to be the same. That's a dire warning here, isn't it? But the real question and the real issue is, do we believe Him? Do we believe Him? When He says it's not enough for us to just do a lot of good things in His name, and it's not enough just to say, yes, I believe in Him and He's my Lord, we've got to be doing His will in our lives. It's God's warning to us. And the challenge that I want you to think about this morning is ask yourself, Because again, you see, this isn't about the folks out there. This is about all of us in here, myself included. Yeah, there are some things in my life that I've got to do a lot better at in doing what God tells me to do. I'm working on them. Is God warning you to make sure that what you're doing in your life is His will and not your own? That's what this is all about. So we ask this question. We've been asking throughout this study, how will believing God in this matter affect your daily life? What will change? What would you be doing different in your life? What will you be doing different if you recognize this warning that God has given to us? How would your relationships be different? And especially your relationship with Him. How would that be different than what it is now? For God is asking this question, do you believe me? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We're going to stand and sing that song in just a moment, and the invitation is open to everyone. That maybe this morning and the things that we've been talking about, you recognize that maybe you've been content with calling Jesus your Lord, but there's some areas in your life that you're just not doing His will. Will you repent of that so that you won't hear those saddest words, I never knew you? There's somebody here this morning who's not given your life to Christ. You need to understand you are still lost in your sins, separated from God, and that's indeed what you will hear. I never knew you, because you never got rid of the barrier between you and Him, that sin barrier. But the great news is you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him true Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord and repent of the sin that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. If there's some other need that you have, something else that we can help you with, the invitation is open to you. Dale and Ray will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them. And Jerry and I will be right up front here to receive anyone that would like to respond with everyone. Let's stand together and sing.